What's up, sports fans, and welcome back to Sports from the Six, the place to be for all your sports talk needs. First of all, a happy St. Paddy's Day to all you party animals out there. We're happy to be back, and we apologize for the lack of content, but we're fresh off our trip to Florida to cover spring training baseball, and we got plenty of fresh talk coming your way. As always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-hosts, Allie, don't call me Alican, Rav Johnny, and Dwayne, I hope the Eagles don't tank, Turner. This week on the show, we'll be giving you a full rundown from our trip to Florida, as well as a complete breakdown of the Blue Jays bullpen, their new additions, and we'll finish today's episode off with a special guest from Sportsnet. So stay tuned for that.
What a tease right there.
Well, Alican, Dwayne, how were your trips, guys?
Well, I hope you guys had a great time because I know I did. Having the experience to go down there and interview some minor league prospects, I also got the opportunity to interview a track athlete from Southern Wesleyan University. She was participating in the University of South Florida Track and Field Invitational, so it was just a great experience. I was able to speak to Matt Smorrell, one of the young pitchers in the Blue Jays organization. And he had a great story, just a great story. He's overcome a lot to get to where he is now. And other guys like Kevin Zielmeck, and I was also able to speak to Keen Wong, who's the brother of current professional second baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals, Colton Wong. So all of them had great stories, and being able to talk to them was just an incredible experience.
Yeah, and Flip and Dwayne, I got really lucky with my guys. I started off with Jeff Hoffman on the Tuesday. First of all, that Monday was a nice time to just go out and swim and relax. So if you haven't been to Florida, get down there ASAP. That was my first time there. Had a great time. But Jeff Hoffman, we've talked a lot in the past about Toronto teams and people wanting to leave. Jeff Hoffman was completely the opposite. And the thing he said at the end of my interview that'll really stick with me is that he wants to stay with one team, a lot like Derek Jeter. And it's not often you mention a prospect and Derek Jeter in the same breath, but that was something that was really cool, really special. Also got the chance to talk to John Stilson, a guy who tore his labrum last year pitching for the Bisons. Someone with a power fastball, was projected to eventually be with the Jays last season, and he's working his way back from rehabilitation. And it's good to see he's good friends with guys like Aaron Sanchez, Marcus Stroman, Daniel Norris, and all these young guys are pushing themselves to get better. We know now with the Stroman injury that he's going to be rehabilitating as well. And just to see that, keeping their spirits up, wanting to pitch for the Jays are things that I really, really took away from it. Finally, I got a chance to speak with Tyler Wilson, a guy on the Orioles. He won their minor league pitcher of the year last season.
Nice.
A team that the Jays will be competing with, and a guy that has a great story in himself. He's a 10th round pick, wants to be a doctor, potentially, after he's done his major league career. But for now, he's rising up the ranks in the Orioles system, joins a great potential front line for them in terms of Kevin Gausman, Dylan Bundy, Hunter Harvey, a lot of very, very talented young pitchers in that Orioles organization. And we could be seeing a lot of these names, the Smorrells, the Stilsons, the Hoffmans, and the Wilsons competing down the line here in this division with the Blue Jays and the Orioles.
And speaking of young pitching talent, AK, I was lucky enough to speak to a pitcher in the Jays organization named Sean Reed Foley. He's ranked right now 10th in the system in terms of prospects. He's only a 19-year-old kid, so it's not going to be someone you're seeing with the big club anytime soon, but definitely a prospect to watch in the future. You heard the name here on Sports from the Six first, Sean Reed Foley. You can write that one down, sports fans. You'll be hearing a lot of him in the next few seasons. But overall, the trip was amazing. As a young, aspiring journalist, to be able to get that kind of access and behind-the-scenes opportunity was amazing, and I think all of us really killed it down there, and we had a great time. Speaking of which, if you're looking for some in-depth stories on the players that were just mentioned, please check out the Toronto Observer's website. They're all up there, and I hope you guys enjoy that.
And we'll also be tweeting them out for all of you. I know a lot of you guys have been wondering where we've been the past week, and that's exactly where we'll be tweeting out our stories, our features. Some of us also were lucky enough to write for Sportsnet and Canadian Baseball Network as well. So we'll definitely be posting those stories out for you guys and giving you the inside scoop of what exactly we did.
Absolutely.
That's what we do here on Sports from the Six. We try to educate and enlighten our viewers and listeners.
So let's jump now right into the Blue Jays, who we're going to be talking about today. They made a few additions this offseason, trying to compete for an AL East crown. obviously we've seen lately, not everything's been rosy, but before spring training started, they did add a few guys. Dwayne, do you want to tell us about a new catcher that they added, a little bit of Canadian flavor?
Yeah, so recently, well, I shouldn't say recently, but a couple months ago, the Blue Jays brought in Russell Martin. His contract was, I believe, 5 years, $82 million. And I think this is a huge addition for the Blue Jays. I know we brought in Diano Navarro last season, hoping for him to be the starting catcher. But to be able to add a Russell Martin just means so much for the Blue Jays right now. He, in terms of offense, he may not be one of the best offensive catchers you may see, but I think some of the keys to his game is, for instance, pitch framing. A stat I want to kind of throw out there is that last season with the Pirates, there was an estimated 88 pitches out of the zone that he was able to bring back. So to put that in perspective, that means he saved 11.7 runs for the Pittsburgh Pirates last season in 2014. So something like that, that's just going to be huge, especially for the young pitchers like a Daniel Norris or a Sanchez or anybody else. Like, it's going to be huge to be able to save those kind of runs.
Definitely.
He's a great leader, just a great guy to have in the locker room. I think, you know, adding him to the leaders of the room like a Mark Burley, Jose Bautista, I think will just bolster the chemistry within the locker room. And the throwing, I mean, that's another thing that he's very capable of doing. Last season, or I guess for the past four seasons, Russell actually he led the league with 133 runners thrown out, which is 45% caught stealing percentage, which, I mean, that's pretty impressive. So that's going to be key for the Blue Jays. And again, I just think that having him be able to nurture those young pitchers, there are a few coming up for the Blue Jays that I think will certainly benefit from having him there. I know that guys like Cole for the Pittsburgh Pirates definitely benefited from him last season. So I'm hoping to see the same thing this year for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, and I look at a guy like Russell Martin, and I see a lot of things there that could help the team. Diano Navarro was a good bat for the team, a very serviceable bat. His bat doesn't play as well at the designated hitter spot, but he still adds a little bit of depth there for the team. Conversely, Navarro hasn't been a great pitch framer. We've seen him work well with Mark Burley, but there's a lot of times where those one, two extra strikes can change the nature of a ball game, and that's something that Russell Martin can do that can help this team. And he's a guy you want to go to war with. He's experienced the postseason, been on the Yankees, been on the Pirates, turned around these young pitching staffs. Also, the effect that he could have on different catchers. We saw a lot of catchers at the Blue Jays minor league complex. We saw Derek Chung. We saw Reeves. They have a young guy in Max Penicos. So this ripple effect that a guy like Martin can have on those young players, not only the pitchers that you mentioned, Dwayne, but also those catchers, right, and the leadership that he provides for a team looking to compete right now is something that's very impressive. We know about a lot of the clubhouse issues that took place last year, whether it be from a guy like Adam Lynn being moved a couple years ago, J.P. Arencibia. What we know about them, well, we don't know enough about the nature of what happened in that clubhouse, but still adding leaders like that is very impressive. And another point on a guy like Russell Martin, his ability to want to catch R.A. Dickey's knuckleball improves this roster a lot. If that means that they don't have to carry a third catcher and Josh Tole with them, you improve your lineup every 5 days by having a serviceable major league bat in your lineup.
That's a great point. And I just before we flip it to Flip, I just wanted to mention,
I see what you did there.
So
pretty punny, Dwayne.
Ali, you brought up a good point about the experience he brings, and something that I guess you could say is underrated is that in the 9 seasons that Russell Martin has actually been in the majors, he's been in 40 playoff games. 40 playoff games. I mean, I know that the Blue Jays fans are starving to see the Blue Jays get back to the postseason. So just knowing that alone, I think, bodes well for them.
Right, and I mean, a lot of people see this as, oh, he's Canadian, he improves the marketing. No, Russell Martin is a good ball player. The fact that he's Canadian is a great bonus for the team.
Sure.
But he's a good game caller. He's a veteran. He's a leader that can lead a staff that's going to get younger after this season when R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley do leave. And the fact that they were able to backload that contract, really, and keep their players intact for this season so that they're not compromising making a run now is something that's been extremely important for Alex Anthopoulos going forward.
Definitely, and he's worked out the money well, and we'll hear a little bit later how he's been smartly using the funds towards what the team needs most. And we can see even with in a deal like the trade with Seattle, J.A. Happ from Michael Saunders is not only a financially responsible move, but it fills a hole in left field that could potentially be huge for the Blue Jays. And again, that was a deal sending left-handed pitcher J.A. Happ to the Seattle Mariners in exchange for outfielder Michael Saunders, also a Canadian boy. Big guy, I believe he's 6'4", swings a heavy bat when he's in the lineup, has struggled with injury issues in the past. And again, at the start of spring training this year, we see a freak accident. He's in the outfield shagging fly balls and steps on a sprinkler head, tears his meniscus. So that's the kind of thing you can't predict. It's seemingly common practice for the Jays the past few years for some reason. I'm not sure why. Hopefully he'll be able to bounce back and be ready for spring training. News out of Toronto recently is that's a potential. It'd be great for the Canadian fans to have another Canadian player in the Blue Jays lineup. Personally, I think he could be huge for the Jays. If he can stay healthy and provide some pop from the outfield, not like this offense is lacking any kind of power. If you can add depth in the lineup by spreading out the power to the bottom 7, 8, 9 of the lineup, which at this point he's probably projected to slot in somewhere down there, I think it could be huge for them. You also have another addition that AK will touch on now. We've got Jays have power for days in that lineup.
Yeah, and a guy that they've added, of course, is Josh Donaldson from the Oakland A's, a player that, for position players at least, has been second in WAR behind Mike Trout last season, and huge addition for the Jays. Obviously, you can see they're trying their best to go all in here. The package that was headlined, it was kind of surprising. You wouldn't think a team like the Athletics, who are very conscious of the cost of players, would give up a guy like Donaldson. Of course, he didn't come cheap. The Jays had to give up fan favorite but oft-injured Brett Laurie in that deal.
Hothead Brett Laurie.
Right, Brett Laurie. We remember the helmet incident a couple of seasons ago with the umpire. Pitching prospects that might not have done well or might have done well, we don't really know enough about them. The A's are really high on Kendall Graveman, who they got in that deal. They think he can legitimately be a mid-rotation starter, especially pitching in that Coliseum, the football stadium down there in Oakland. They think he can be a promising pitcher for them. Sean Nolan, a lefty that was roughed up a little bit in his brief stints in Toronto, but a guy that they also like. And finally, what many are considering the wild card in this deal, Franklin Barreto, a young player, still a few years away from the majors. Of course, we know the Blue Jays have a couple infield guys in Jose Reyes, and they're grooming Devin Travis to eventually take over that second base position. But he's a far ways off. A move that really emphasizes, again, the win now motion for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I think it's a huge move. I mean, you're talking about Josh Donaldson, the guy who hit 53 home runs over the past two seasons. And, you know, half, obviously we know half of those games are played in Oakland, which is not a very, which I should say is a pitcher-friendly park. So for him to now be moving and playing for the Blue Jays, I mean, just think about it this way. 29 of his 53 home runs were on the road over the past two seasons. So you know that he certainly has power for days. So, like Flip mentioned, like adding him to the rotation is just going to bolster it, especially knowing that the Blue Jays lost Melky Cabrera, somebody who is extremely beneficial and, you know, added a lot of pop to the lineup. Replacing that with Josh Donaldson, I would say, is a pretty decent deal.
Yeah, Melky Cabrera leaves a pretty big hole at the top of that lineup. Time will tell if the players that they brought in will fill that hole. I personally think that that's a tough task for any player to fill. So we'll have to wait and see how that works out. Personally, I think losing Melky could be bigger than the Jays want to let on, but we'll have to wait and see again.
Right, and the thing with Melky is he had that one very good season, the half season that was tainted a little bit down in San Francisco, and
right.
He had the good season for the Blue Jays last year, but you just don't know long-term how that body does play out on the turf. You have guys, Josh Donaldson brought it up, that he's a guy that he considers the sixth tool staying on the field and staying healthy, and it's really refreshing to hear that coming out of position like third base, where Brett Laurie has all the talent in the world, and we do hope he turns it around in Oakland, but he's a guy that just, freak injuries again, we've talked about, just hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Yeah, that's right.
Hasn't been able to stay on the field. Laurie was a guy who I personally liked in the Jays system, had all kinds of talent with the glove, but realistically, for me, it came down to attitude. We've had past, the Blue Jays have had past coaches, Farrell, for one, that Laurie had constant problems with. We've heard him having problems with teammates, umpires, trainers, and even himself. So I do wish Brett Laurie nothing but the best. Being able to trade him and bring in a guy like Donaldson, I think, is a massive upgrade, personally. I know Donaldson has struggled with the glove a little bit. Hopefully he can bring that around, because slotting in 30 home runs behind Encarnacion and a guy like Bautista, if I were the AL East pitchers right now, I'm a little bit frightened at the middle of that Blue Jays lineup, personally.
I love how you brought up, Flip, about Brett Laurie's attitude, because I think that is a huge factor in this. I was fortunate enough to be able to go to the pitch talks that was held a couple weeks ago, and Greg Zahn of Sportsnet was actually there, and he brought up a good point where he said that he was afraid that Brett Laurie was trying too hard to become one of the leaders of the locker room. And while it's good to show that kind of while it's good to be motivated and to want to be one of the leaders, I think the issue was is that there were leaders already supplemented in the locker room. You had the Jose Bautista, you had the Mark Burleys, and now that the Blue Jays are able to bring in a Russell Martin, those are the core leaders, and I think that he was trying to intrude on that space. And it was a great point that Greg Zahn brought up, and I think that has to have something to do with it. You brought up the instance where Brett Laurie has got into it with the manager. I mean, things like that can't happen, and it's happened time and time again. So again, I wish him all the best in Oakland. You know, hopefully he learns from this and is able to turn it around both on the diamond and off, but time will tell.
Yeah, and it's the Jays just doing their best to fill a need. And where I feel they've slipped hard on filling a need is at the second base position. Ever since Roberto Alomar has left, the Jays have struggled to find consistency at that position. Someone might disagree with me. Maybe someone in this room might disagree with me. But I personally feel that other than the bullpen, is a gaping hole in that lineup. As much as I personally like Ryan Goins as a player, love the glove, batting under 200 in the major leagues does not cut it. That is not what a starting second baseman does. I don't care if you win back-to-back-to-back gold gloves. If you're not hitting at least 250, 260, you got to go. And I don't know what you guys think about the other options the Jays have there this year, but I think that might be one of their huge issues going forward, is stability at that second base position. And who knows if they're able to fill it this year with the personnel they have. You know, is a guy like Travis going to come up and fill that need? Are they going to have to trade for it? Is someone going to step up? I'm not sure. What do you guys think about the second base spot?
When I look at second base, I think it all depends on how the rest of the lineup is going to be compensated. First of all, is everyone going to be healthy? We talked about the Michael Saunders injury earlier in the show, and can a guy like that stay healthy? Can he provide his career norms?
Big question mark.
Yeah, big question mark. Are you getting something out of first base, whether it's Justin Smoke or Diane Vizieto, Derek Barton, whoever ends up there? I think then it depends on who you can carry. For now, Ryan Goins is having a very good spring. Jerry Howarth talked about him being the best defensive second baseman that he's seen on the Jays in a long time.
Wow. And that's saying something.
Yeah, that's saying something, a guy that's been around the game that long. But really, there hasn't been much offense from that position since Aaron Hill had the very good Silver Slugger season back in the day. So can you take a guy like Goins? Personally, I don't know if I'm sold on that yet, just because you don't know about the inconsistencies of a 162-game season. Ideally, you want to have Devin Travis as a guy that can get some seasoning in the minor league, still hit AAA pitching, minor league pitching, and then bring him up when you feel he's ready to take over that role for good. so you don't have to send him back down. And who does that leave? Well, that leaves Meister Asturias, a guy that last year got injured in Baltimore very early in the season. We know a couple of seasons ago he had a terrible year in terms of WAR, one of the worst years for a position player in history. Can a guy like that be a difference maker? Well, he doesn't have to be in this lineup. If he can just play to his norms, a 269 average, a 703 OPS, that might just be enough at second base for the Blue Jays if they can get that over the season.
It might be enough. I think it's a big ask for Asturias to come back off missing pretty much the whole season and then to come in and bat 270. I think that's a big ask for him. You're right. He definitely has it in him. But like how you're not sold on Goins, I personally, and I hope he's listening, I personally am not a fan of Meister Asturias, and I think the potential is there, but it's just a guy to me that comes out. It doesn't look like he plays hard. And I know these guys are professionals and they all play hard, but when I watch a guy who seems like he's dogging it, I don't want that guy on the field and for any team, let alone a team like the Jays that needs a second baseman who's going to play hard every single day, day in and day out. So I don't know what Dwayne thinks about it, but like I said, going forward, I think that's a massive hole for the Jays, and I don't think they'll be able to fill it.
So I got to agree with Ali. I think it's
Thanks tourists, a lot, Dwayne.
What can I say?
Shout out, Ali Khan.
I got to go with Meister Asturias at second. I think even if you have to put him at the 9 spot in the order, I think just being able to have him and then have Reyes follow right after to have that kind of speed on the base pads, I think that would work out pretty well for the Blue Jays. And in terms of his offense, Ali threw out the numbers. I think if you get anywhere around there, you know, it's great. I mean, we spotlighted all of the offensive players that the Jays have added and currently still have that I think will provide just enough offense to where whatever Asturias is able to provide would just add on to that. So I do believe that Asturias will win out and get that job. We mentioned it earlier, Goins, he's a great defensive second baseman, but I feel like he kind of had a similar spring training last season where, you know, fans were kind of getting excited about the potential with his offense and just nothing panned out.
Yeah.
So who knows with him? And Devin Travis, again, I think Devin Travis is definitely the future, and being able to slowly bring him along, I think, is the right step.
You bring up an interesting parallel there, Dwayne, with back-to-back Goins spring training, having good ones last year and then came out and didn't really hit so well. But just for the record and for the listeners, we have my esteemed co-hosts Ali Khan and Dwayne picking Meister Asturias to come out of that second base position. And for the record, just want to say that my choice is Ryan Goins. We'll keep that on the back burner as we continue through the season. We'll see how we do with our predictions.
Yeah, and we know Meister Asturias is a switch hitter as well, so just quickly throwing that in there, he's a guy that adds that flexibility. Somewhat of a small dark horse as I quickly wrap this up. Ramon Santiago was a guy who was also vying for that spot. He did break his collarbone, mm-hmm. We should mention this weekend against the Braves, so a guy that's now out of contention. But something else that's really, really weighing on my mind in terms of the Blue Jays is the bullpen. We saw them lose Casey Jansen last year, a guy that's been a real trooper. He spoke out after the deadline, in fact, about not making additions. People thought this was the reason. Others thought it was the injury that he suffered and the poor second half that he had. But, guys, where do you see this really shaping up now? As of now, Brett Cecil on the depth chart is slated to be their closer to start the year.
I love Cecil in the closing role. He's got strikeout pitches, a dirty slider, decent velocity. I know he was struggling with finding the velocity at the start of spring training. Personally, I don't think there's any problem with him being the closer for the Jays. I fully believe that he has what it takes. Like with the rest of the team, though, it's going to come down to health. Can he stay healthy? Can he be a closer for the full slate of games for this season? It's a lot of innings, even for a closer. He hasn't done it before. So as much as I do believe that he has what it takes, he's going to need to get off to a good start along with the rest of the club. He's going to have to throw strikes, and I think he'll probably be on a fairly short leash considering we've already heard John Gibbons come out and say that it might have to be a closer by committee, which we all agree is a bad idea. But if he doesn't pitch well, realistically, that's probably what's going to happen. in terms of his talent. I fully think he has all the skills and tools needed to be a successful closer. He's a strikeout pitcher, and I think he's going to give the AL East fits in the ninth inning.
So you say that he has a short leash. I was just wondering, who do you think would be the next man up if that were the case? Do you think like a Delabar or even an Aaron Loop?
It's a great question, Dwayne. I don't think Delabar, coming off an injury season, I don't think they'd stick him in there. Aaron Loop, I think, is a great bullpen arm. I personally like Aaron Loop a lot. Don't see him as a closer. I could see Aaron Sanchez jumping into that role. We've seen and heard the Jays talk about that as a potential. And if we're talking about intriguing situations, why not throw him in there? If Cecil's not going to work out, the Jays had Jansen half the season, second half of the season last year. He was very, very inconsistent. So at this point, the Blue Jays realistically are looking for someone who's just going to throw strikes and not give up that big home run.
Right, and Flip talked about the closer by committee. I'm all for that, but the reason why I'm against it at this level is simply because we've seen when guys aren't in defined roles, it kind of messes up their performance at times, and that's something that while I would love for there to be a closer by committee and to use the matchups, it's just something that, from what I've seen, simply hasn't worked, at least at the major league level yet, and worked effectively. We see the Oakland A's do it, but even them, they do use established closers in their pen. I think it's going to come down to who's pitching well. We've seen good performances by Cecil, Loop. If Delabar can get back on track, he's done the weighted ball program again now this offseason. Wilton Lopez is a guy that from 2010 to 2012 had some very good major league seasons. Miguel Castro is another name, a guy that they've liked, throws a hard fastball, someone that could impact that bullpen and throw his hard heater. I think likely you're going to see Aaron Sanchez and Daniel Norris in the rotation. And I think this bullpen's still going to be a question mark. You still have a guy like Rafael Soriano out there for them. And right now, I see the Blue Jays as a team that's a mid-tier 80 team. If the money's going to be there and they can actually add to that bullpen, they're a team that could go far. It's going to be overcoming the depth and getting the performances that you need in the rotation from Daniel Norris and Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah, sorry you caught me a bit off guard there, AK, but I agree. There's a lot of question marks in that bullpen. There's a lot of question marks in the end of the rotation. The Jays have all kinds of young talent. What really remains to be seen is, can that translate into W's? And the bottom line is winning games. At this point, I think the Blue Jays faithful doesn't really care how they come as long as they do come. Another important thing to note is they've made a move and picked up Johan Santana as a little bit of insurance. We'll touch on it a little bit upcoming with our special guest host. But it's an incentive-laden deal. He's a veteran pitcher. We'll see if they'll slot him into the rotation now that Stroman's gone down. But like I said, we'll touch on that in a few minutes here.
So just to finish off before we throw it to our special guest, I was just wondering what you guys see as the, I guess, what's the outlook for the Blue Jays for this upcoming 2015 season?
Record-wise?
Sure. Throw that into there as well.
Well, we were lucky enough to have Jerry Haworth come in and speak to our group a couple weeks ago, and according to the people in the Blue Jays organization, Jerry's usually within 5 or 10 games of picking the Jays' prospective wins for the season, and he threw out a number of 85 wins for the Jays. And personally, I think he's bang on the money with that. In the past, if you throw out a number like 85 wins in the AL East, you'll get laughed at because that's not going to be enough to win. But who knows? With the East being as weak as it is, 85 might be enough. But yeah, I think 80. I'll stick with Jerry and play it safe. I'll say 85 wins for the Jays this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in the range of somewhere between 83 and 87. I look at them as a team that can compete. Obviously, for me at least, Marcus Stroman was a guy who was going to eventually emerge as the ace of that staff. So I see them in the 83 to 87 range if things break right. If things don't break right, like we saw a couple of years ago, it could be another long season for them. I ultimately see them on the fringe of that playoff race, maybe sneaking into that last wild card slot.
What do you think, Dwayne?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think I'd say 88 is probably, I think, the most that they will potentially win. And I think it's going to come down to the Blue Jays, Orioles, and the Boston Red Sox. I think those three teams will be fighting for at least the AL East crown, and who knows, I guess maybe potentially a second wild card, depending on how the other divisions shape up.
Let's take that in for a second. We're discounting the Yankees for the first time in who knows how long.
Well,
I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing, but think of how, like, let that resonate for a second.
It's a new era, boys.
Wow.
A-Rod's going to put them on his back.
And I guess just one other thing I wanted to mention is that I think that for the first time in a while, we're going to be actually seeing some important games being played in September for the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like I said, I believe that the division race and that wild card race is going to come down to the wire, and I do believe that the Blue Jays will be a part of it.
And that does it for us for now, and we're going to be joined now by our special guest. Happy to be joined now on Sports from the Six by Sportsnet's Shai Davidi, fresh off a little bit of time in Florida. Shai, thanks for doing this.
My pleasure.
Shai, first question for you. We've seen the Blue Jays face with a myriad of funny injuries again this spring. Michael Saunders, Kevin Pillar. How do you feel the team will bounce back this season, already having to face these injuries so early in the spring?
Well, the one that's really has the potential to be the most detrimental to them is obviously Marcus Stroman and the freak knee injury that cost him a season. He's going to be the most difficult to replace. And the fact is the other guys are going to be back, you know, relatively soon. Michael Saunders has a shot at opening day, and if it's not opening day, he won't be long. So that's not going to really hurt them. Kevin Pillar probably isn't a long-term thing. So really it's going to be how do they overcome the loss of Marcus Stroman, and that's going to be complicated. They've certainly got some options. They've got some young pitchers with some upside. They've got a veteran in Marco Estrada who can be a steadying force in that rotation, but really how they fill that void is going to be most pivotal to them.
Thanks again for doing this, Shai. Now, my question is, you bring up Marcus Stroman. Are there any young arms that you might consider bringing in to possibly replace him? And if Stroman were to be able to pitch this season, what do you think his impact would have been?
Well, that's an interesting question in terms of what Stroman's impact would have been, because there are a lot of people around the game, around the team, who really believe that Stroman was going to take a step forward this year and really emerge as not necessarily an ace, but a pitcher on that type of level. Now, would it have happened? Would there have been a bump in the road? It's very possible. You know, very rarely do young players in the game travel a straight trajectory upward. There's usually some ups and downs, and he surely would have faced some adversity at some point. But in terms of who they replace him with, there are a couple guys. Aaron Sanchez was probably ticketed to the bullpen before this. He's most likely going to end up in the rotation right now unless someone really emerges. And the upside that he brings in the starting rotation, if he clicks, I mean, he could be just as dominant, if not more dominant, than Marcus Stroman. And in a lot of ways, the Blue Jays need to bank on that because they need that type of presence. And it's a lot of pressure to put on a young pitcher who's got, you know, 20, 30 innings in the big leagues like Sanchez does. But they need him to do it. And Daniel Norris also has a chance to emerge. And he, depending on who you talk to, some people like him better than both Sanchez and Stroman. The question is, will accelerating his timeline, which the Blue Jays may very well do because he's got a chance to end up in the rotation, is that going to be detrimental to him, or is he ready to make the jump?
Shai, there really is a ripple effect when a guy like Stroman goes down. We've heard a lot about Deonor Navarro this spring and his value. What does this do for him? Does this mean he's more likely to be moved? And what does it do for a guy like Marco Estrada, also battling out for those last few rotation spots?
Well, the effect on someone like Deonor Navarro there isn't one. You know, Deonor Navarro's market will be determined by someone who has a catching need. So either an injury or underperformance or whatever the case is, the Blue Jays, in order to trade Deonor Navarro, will need to find a partner that needs a starting catcher because that's the only circumstance under which they trade him. So the Blue Jays aren't going to be able to suddenly turn Deonor Navarro into a starting pitcher that they can plug into the rotation. In terms of Marco Estrada, you know, the Blue Jays are still very much trying to figure out how he best fits into the puzzle. And he's been a swing guy from the Brewers. He's had some success as a starter. He had a rough year last year as a starter in Milwaukee. Gave up 27 of his 29 home runs while in the rotation for the Brewers. But he's had a lot of success in his big league career. He's proven that he can get guys out. He's got, you know, one way to think of him is kind of Jay Happ a few years ago. You know, someone who has some ability, has had some success, but hasn't been able to maintain it over an extended period. And perhaps this is an opportunity for Estrada where he jumps into the rotation, is able to lock it down, and maybe find his peak.
Shai, just a couple more questions while we do have you here. I want to put you on the spot. We've spoken about the Jays and how they have a lot of question marks in the lineup. Rotation, bullpen mainly. With that many question marks, do you see this team making the postseason?
They have, to me, as good a shot as anyone in the American League East, because every team in that division has some sort of significant flaw. You know, I mean, the Red Sox, on paper, look like they might have the best all-around team, but there's a lot of gong show potential with some of the characters that they have there. And you know, they're experimenting with a primarily ground ball inducing starting rotation, and that's not always going to be a recipe for success. There's no guarantees that that's going to work for them. So I think they have a lot of question marks. The New York Yankees have a wide array of question marks that go well beyond Alex Rodriguez. The Tampa Bay Rays, I think, are going to really pitch the ball, but I'm not certain they're going to get enough offense to really capitalize on that. The Baltimore Orioles lost a couple of their key guys in Nelson Cruz and Nick Markakis, but they get Manny Machado and Matt Wieters back for the full season. Mm-hmm. And does that trade-off help them, you know, avoid any significant fallback? So I think that every team has questions like the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays have probably, you know, as much or close to as much talent as the Boston Red Sox. The Baltimore Orioles are on their heels. And it's going to come down to who has the ability to execute and who's able to avoid dumb injuries.
Shai, finally, the question everyone wants to know about the money. We saw the deal that Johan Santana got. It's very incentive-laden. If the Jays do make a run and are there at the deadline, is there going to be money available to improve the ball club for a postseason run?
Well, there's a school of thought, and I don't know this for a fact, but there's a school of thought that Alex Anthopoulos may have, you know, held back a little bit of money for a just-in-case fund. And the fact that they were able to give Johan Santana a deal that could pay him up to $6.5 million and Dion Viciedo a deal that could pay him up to $2.5 million, they clearly have the budget at their disposal to handle those salaries. Now, if Viciedo doesn't make the team or only plays a couple months, if Johan Santana doesn't get the full $6.5 million, then you figure that there's got to be at least that room or at least that much capacity for the Blue Jays to add at the deadline. And then if they find a way to move Deonna Navarro as well, I mean, that could be a prorated savings of up to $5 million depending on when they move him in the season. So I think they have a bit of flexibility at minimum, but ultimately how much exactly they have to spend, we won't know until, you know, July 31st hits.
Shai, thanks a lot for doing this, and let's do this again soon.
No problem.
Thanks a lot, Shai.